Well, one of the big news stories that has been in the press this week is the story of Andrew Thorburn. You might have seen it, been following along. He's the ex-CEO of the NAB Bank, who was unveiled as the next CEO of Essendon Football Club over in Melbourne. He was the first. It was the first time an AFL club had appointed a top ASX-listed CEO to lead its club. Quite a historical moment. And you will know if you've been following the story that 24 hours later, Andrew Thorburn was asked to resign. And the reason he was asked to resign is that because he served on the leadership of his local Anglican church. The headlines read, Andrew Thorburn resigns due to links to controversial church, to controversial views. No, it was just a normal Anglican church. He didn't post any offensive tweets. He didn't make any comments that would have forced him to be asked to resign, but he was asked to resign because of his association with the Bible-believing, perfectly normal Anglican church. It was not a fringe or underground church. It was a normal local Anglican church that meets in a community centre in the east of Melbourne, that has a kids' church, sings songs like we do, has morning tea like we do, is as dysfunctional as us. It has a homeless ministry. It has all the various things. But yet, Andrew Thorburn was deemed to be unfit to lead the Bombers. And so he, his wife, and his family have endured a terrible week, suffering and much name-calling and persecution this week. This is our final sermon series in 3 weeks looking at suffering. And I start with Andrew Thorburn, because I wanted to highlight that there is a particular category of suffering that comes as the consequence of following Jesus. Yes, we live in a broken world. We've looked at that over the last couple of weeks. We've looked at the suffering in the air that we breathe and the consequences of living in a broken and fallen world. But there is a suffering that comes uniquely if you are a follower of Jesus. The pain of losing your dream of leading the footy club that you've followed since you were a kid. Perhaps the loneliness that might come because you've made decisions about who to date and who to marry because you follow Jesus. You might feel the burden or the grief of the financial or career decisions that you've made because you follow Jesus. You might know the grief of unbelieving family members or friends not talking to you because you follow Jesus. And the question I want us to tackle today is, how are you going to keep going through it? How are you going to endure? How are you going to keep going with Jesus through that hurt and through that suffering? In a broken world where pain and suffering are all around us in the air that we breathe, how do we keep going? I wonder whether you noticed the danger that was in the passage that John read out second from 2 Corinthians 4. See, the danger for the Christian is that we would lose heart. That we would lose heart. Not that we would die, not that we would experience pain, not that we would experience grief or hurt or loss of possessions or something or other, but that we would lose heart. It's there in verse 1. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, talking about himself and the apostles, we do not lose heart. And then at the end of the passage, so we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. That's the danger, to lose heart. And to lose heart is to give up on Jesus, to give up on the life and the hope that he's given to us. You might know the feeling of losing heart. Maybe you feel like that this morning. Maybe you've known the feeling of the hope draining from your soul as you've gone through a season of your life. Maybe you felt the temptation to throw the towel in and give up on Jesus. Maybe you're close to that this morning, either because you've experienced hurt or are experiencing hurt, or you're suffering as a follower of Jesus for a decision that you've made to put Jesus number one. And you're feeling like you just want to tap out. Ever felt like that? If you haven't, you will. This morning, I want to lift our eyes to Jesus and the hope that he brings to his children and to his followers. And if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, I want to point you to the hope that is on the table, that is on offer to you, because Jesus offers a hope like no other. You might have been coming to church for years, but you're not following Jesus. I want to encourage you to look at the hope that Jesus puts on the table and offers to you this morning. I want to encourage you to listen to talks 1 and 2 of this series. And today, look at the hope that Jesus offers. And I've got 2 things that I just want us to touch on this morning. There is tons in 2 Corinthians 4. Go away, read it, ingest it. Let me know when you've worked out what it's all about and how the logic fits together. But there's just 2 areas I want us to focus on this morning to point us to Jesus and to the hope he offers. The first is this. I want us to see the Jesus-shaped life. The Jesus-shaped life. Let me read from verse 8. Paul writes, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies." If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, I wonder what you were expecting when you embarked on the Christian life. What were you expecting? Were you expecting health, wealth, and happiness? I said last week that there are false teachers in churches around the world that say, come to Jesus and you get health, wealth, and happiness. But you don't have to read far in the Bible and see that is not the authentic Christian experience. Certainly not the experience of the Apostle Paul, here in this letter. He says he's afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. In chapter 11 of this same letter, Paul writes this. He says, 5 times I've received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked, and besides other things, I'm under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches. Come and be a Christian. Come and follow Jesus and get shipwrecked. Come and follow Jesus and have sleepless nights worrying about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Come and follow Jesus and get called names and get the cold shoulder. This is the Paul, the man who was personally commissioned by Jesus to take the news of Jesus beyond the Jewish world into the world so that people like you and me in Rockingham today in 2022 could hear about Jesus. If anyone should bypass the suffering, it is Paul. But no, he gets both barrels, doesn't he? both barrels, all this suffering. And how does he make sense of that? How does he not lose heart? Chapter 4, verse 10 says, we're always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. We're always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. That is what we're to expect if we're followers of Jesus. His life is a model of Christ's life. He follows a Savior who suffered. Our kids get a haircut every holidays. They get one haircut at the holidays. And the challenge is always to get enough cut off so that they can go through the next holidays without looking like they need a haircut. Our third son, Arthur, his hair grows particularly fast. So a couple of haircuts ago, I put him in the barber's seat and I said, you know, just take it really short, neat haircut. He's not getting it done to the next holidays, so I don't want to see it long in a couple of weeks. So barber says, yeah, get it. And what does Arthur do? Arthur says to the barber, once I'm out of earshot, I want my haircut like Kit the Kid Leroy. How does the Kid Leroy have his haircut? Massive curtains, long haircut. And so he comes galloping over and we're like, what's happened? You haven't got a short haircut. You've got a long haircut. He said, Dad, I wanted to look like the Kid Leroy. I wanted to look like Kid Leroy is a musician. If you didn't know, he plays modern beat music and drum and bass and all of that kind of thing. He's a pop star, and Arthur wanted to look like the Kid Leroy. Friends, when you start following Jesus, we don't get a haircut that makes us look like our hero Jesus. It's a good job, isn't it? We get a life that looks like Jesus. Don't get a haircut. We get a life that looks like Jesus. And we get a life of suffering. We share in Christ's suffering. We walk the same path that Jesus walks. We follow the example and the life of Jesus. Now that won't be easy. But all the way through the New Testament, time and time again, we're told, follow Jesus and follow his suffering. Make Jesus your hero and be persecuted by the world. So when suffering comes for following Jesus, when suffering comes as a follower of Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't think that something abnormal is happening to us. We follow a king who suffered. Follow a king who suffered. He didn't go through anything that we don't go through. He didn't live a life that we don't live a life that he didn't live. He suffered. He was tempted. And we should know that nothing has gone wrong. We follow in his footsteps. And so because we follow in Jesus' footsteps, we can say with Paul that even if we're afflicted in every way, we're not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Why don't we lose heart in the face of suffering? Because what is happening in our hurt and in our suffering is not abnormal. We follow a king who suffered. And the great thing is, when you follow a king who suffers, we know the end of the story. We know that suffering doesn't have the last word. We know that suffering doesn't bring us down. So we don't lose heart. And Paul, in this passage, goes beyond just enduring. He says that God will use it. Paul writes, we're always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. See, as you suffer as one who belongs to Jesus, God will use our suffering to show people the life of Jesus through us. He will use it, however painful, however however much we don't want to be in the seat that we're sitting in life, he will use it. I remember being in my first job out of university. I worked as a graphic designer making banner ads for the internet. And I was in a company that grew really quickly and shrunk really quickly. We made lots of money and lots of money very quickly. And we went through 5 rounds of redundancies in 12 months. And if you've ever been in a company where a redundancy hit, it is like a big black cloud comes down and everyone hates their job, doesn't want to be there. Everyone is on edge, anxious about whether they'll have work the next day. Anyway, we had these 5 rounds of redundancies in 12 months. And every round of redundancies that came, my boss would use it to make us work harder and to make us work longer. And I remember one time calling me up saying, "Andy, I need you to work late tonight." And when he meant late, he meant through to 7 a.m. the next day so that we could deliver something that we hadn't been able to deliver. And he called me up, said, "I need you to work." And I said I couldn't because I had a commitment and I wasn't able to do it that night. I could do something the following evening. And he said to me, "Andy, if you don't work late tonight, you might find yourself on the next redundancy list." And as a follower of Jesus, it just didn't faze me. Everyone else was panicking, saying, "How long would you like me to work for?" I just said, "Look, I've got this commitment. I need to stick to it. And I'm confident that if God wants me in this business, then he'll keep me here. If he wants me out, he'll get me out." And years later, he told me that spoke volumes to him. It spoke volumes to him about my trust in Jesus, my satisfaction in Jesus. It was a scary, scary time, much anxiety around the place. And you will go through much anxiety and much suffering, but be confident that God will use it so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies to those around us, to those who've put in our paths. You can be sure that as God keeps you, he will use you if you belong to him. He'll use your suffering to show the life of Jesus in you. To the people in the waiting room as you're waiting for the specialist appointment, to the friends and family that you have that see you in your darkest moments, the people that will see you as you live out the authentic Christian life in front of those that he's put in your life. That's not to say that we're to be stoic and to have the stiff upper lip and say, "I'm okay." It's to say, "I'm not okay, but I haven't lost heart because God is in control. Jesus has got me. Jesus is with me. Jesus has written the ending of this story." That's the Jesus-shaped life. To walk through suffering, but know that you do it not on your own. You don't do it into an unknown. The Jesus-shaped life means the Jesus-shaped death. And that's where I want us to see our next focus to be this morning, the Jesus-shaped death. Let me read from verse 16. "So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." The life of the Jesus-shaped life is worth it because it leads to the Jesus-shaped death. And the Jesus-shaped death is one that does not see death. It is one that passes through death. It is one that passes through to eternity. And that changes everything. David MacDonald states this about the Jesus-shaped death. David MacDonald was a Christian minister for 20 years. and he found out that he had stage 4 lung cancer. And he's written a wonderful book called Hope Beyond Cure. And if you're wrestling with a health issue or a terminal illness, or you have someone who is wrestling with those things, I highly recommend A Hope Beyond Cure by Dave MacDonald. Anyway, he said this. He says, the Christian hope is not that people will somehow avoid dying. The hope is rather that if we trust in Jesus, then God will raise us beyond death to a new life. That is a profound, wonderful viewpoint that means that we can point others to Jesus in our suffering. The Jesus-shaped death means a hope beyond the grave to eternity. It says, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Just soak that up. Let me read it again. For this slight momentary affliction, this life, what we are going through now, these days, these years, this season, this valley, this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. This life, this suffering is preparing, is leading us towards glory, to be with God, to be like God, glory that cannot be measured. See, we not only follow a suffering king, we follow a glorified, risen king who calls us to rise and be glorified with him. Now, that is big. I don't know about you, but I find it hard to get my head around. When I initially put this series together, I was thinking talk 3 will say Christians are raised from the dead to the new creation, therefore there is an end to suffering. And I wanted that to be the hope. And that is true. But the Bible goes beyond that. It says, not only will you be raised to a new life in a perfect world where the suffering and the pain and the hurt that we feel and see around us will be no more, we will be raised to glory. Glory means to be with God, to be like God, to worship God in full satisfaction and fulfillment. You will be raised to glory if you are following Jesus here today. And if you're not following Jesus here today, he says to you, would you like to be raised to glory? That is on the table today for you to take to say, be my Savior, be my King, be my guide. Be my brother and my friend, and I will take you to glory with my Father. See, a day is coming when those who trust Christ will be raised like Jesus to be like Jesus. It's wonderful Christian hope. It's not just Casper the Friendly Ghost stuff. It is a real physical resurrection where our bodies will be made new. I don't know about you, but I could do with a new body. Where our world will be made new. I was chatting to a guy this week who's dying, and he knows it, and he doesn't know Jesus. And I said, look, is there anything I can do to practically help you at this time? He said, if you find a new pair of lungs, I'd love to have them. I'd really appreciate those. Follow Jesus, and he offers you a new pair of lungs. He offers you a completely new body, a new life, so that in eternity, where this life will be a distant memory. So don't lose heart. We will be raised with Christ to be like Christ. And if you know that, you can see how that affects the now. If you know the ending, then it affects the chapter that you're in. It means that if you know you're going to be raised with Christ, like Christ, you're going to have a new life, then we can give this one up for Jesus. Paul went to great lengths to take the gospel to the world, to take the gospel to people like you and I. He got shipwrecked, tortured, persecuted, all those things that are read out. And he did it because he knew that Jesus had given him a second life. Friends, there are people here who have got 30, 40, 50 years left, more. There are people here who have got 5, 10, less. Let me encourage you to use those years for Jesus. When suffering comes, don't lose heart. Don't run away from Jesus and his purposes, but press into him. Pray for his will to be done in this world. Seek his kingdom. Serve him with all the strength that you have. And don't lose heart. That's the danger here. Don't lose heart. Don't give up on Jesus in your pain. Don't lose heart in your despair. Don't lose heart in your suffering. You're not living a life that Jesus hasn't lived. You're not suffering in a way that Jesus hasn't suffered. And you know that suffering won't have the last laugh. Eternity awaits where you'll be made new, where I will be made new. So don't lose heart. I want to close again as I did week one by reading Revelation 21. And as I read, I want you to close your eyes. It's fine, everyone will be doing it, so you don't need to be embarrassed, no one can see you. I want you to close your eyes and just picture this postcard of the new creation that Jesus offers his people. What will it be like when I'm there? What will it feel like? So let me read, then I'll pray, and then we'll sing. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who is seated on the throne said, "See, I'm making all things new." And he also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Let's pray. Father, please help us to have eternity on our hearts, in front of our eyes. Help us to know that the pattern of the Christian life is suffering now and glory later. Help us to know the path that we tread, the path on which our Savior suffered, bled, and died, the path that he calls his followers to take up their cross to follow him, the path that leads to much satisfaction, to much joy, and the path that contains, that is paved with the only hope that Jesus offers. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd help us not to lose heart. Help us to go all out for Jesus in this life, in the way that you've wired us to do, with the opportunities you've given us, with the people you've made us to be. Would we give this life up for Jesus, confident that you will raise us like Jesus, to be like Jesus for eternity and glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.